What's up, everybody? It is early morning hours on Sunday, July 7th, here in New York City. I just wrapped up an interview with activist and pro-democracy demonstrator Joshua Wong. Joshua is a truly exceptional individual, and under different circumstances, I would have used this opportunity to really get to know him and try and understand what drives someone at the age of 14 when he started his activism and got over 100,000 people to rally alongside him successfully, I might add. What drives someone to do that? It's remarkable. And I'd recommend you guys check out some of his videos online speaking at rallies. It's hard not to be inspired by this guy's passion. He's 22 now, and he's been in and out of prison the last couple of years, and he was recently released a few weeks ago for his involvement in events related to the Umbrella Movement of 2014, which we covered in one of our most recent episodes with Ho Fung Hung, episode 92, which I would highly recommend you listen to if you want some background on what's been going on in Hong Kong and the recent extradition bill. Anyway, we had a limited amount of time for this interview. It was also a remote interview that we did over Skype. And as regular listeners know, I normally do all my recordings in person as hour-long conversations where we really have a chance to go deep. In this case, that wasn't possible. So instead, I wanted to make the most of the opportunity to speak with someone who is so directly associated with this really powerful movement in Hong Kong. And let me just say that besides the fact that Joshua is such an interesting and important contemporary political figure, I am also drawn to this story as a Westerner in particular because it really doesn't seem to fit the model through which we've been conditioned to see the world. The narrative in the West the last few years is that the world is leaning authoritarian. Erdogan in Turkey, far-right parties gaining traction in Europe, Bolsonaro in Brazil. But here in this small coastal city with a population the size of New York, you have 2 million people, one in four of the country's citizens, think about that, coming out in protest, asserting their civic rights, and pushing back against what they feel is a steady encroachment by Beijing on their very delicate independence from the mainland that they got after the handover from the British in 97. It's remarkable. And I'm just lucky that I was able to get Joshua on the podcast and that I'm able to share that interview with all of you here today. As a reminder, tomorrow's episode will be released as scheduled, and that one also deals with geopolitics and foreign affairs, so make sure to keep your eyes out for that one as well. Without further ado, everyone, here is my interview with Joshua Wong. Joshua Wong, welcome to Hidden Forces.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
It's great having you on the program. It is midnight here in New York City and midday in Hong Kong. Can you tell me first, what is the atmosphere like in Hong Kong today?
2 out of 7 million Hong Kong citizens took to the street, which was 30% of Hong Kong's population. They took to the street, asked for freedom and democracy, especially urged government withdraw the extradition bill and let Hong Kong people to have free election. But until this moment, Hong Kong government and Beijing still ignore the voice of Hong Kong people and have massive arrests. More than 100 activists have been sent to hospital due to rubber bullets and tear gas used by police brutality. Also, more than 70 activists were arrested during the past few weeks.
So you said 2 million people. Now, Hong Kong's population is something like 7.5 million, right? So that's close to one in every four adults are protesting in the city at any point in time?
Yes. On 16th of June, 2 million people took to the street to join the rally on the same moment and to the same location. And we have the march from Victoria Park to the government headquarters, and we urge government respect to the voice of people. The extradition bill introduced by Hong Kong government, if it's passed, it might extradite any ordinary Hong Kong citizen and even foreigners live in Hong Kong from Hong Kong to China, the place without fair trial. And the bill have not withdrawn and terminated yet. Government still ignore the voice of people.
So when did Chief Executive Carrie Lam put this bill forward for the first time? When did the protests begin, these most recent protests? And when did you join? You were recently let back out of prison. You were in prison for 3 months, right? And this was not the first time that you had been in prison.
It was the third time for me to be jailed by government. Carrie Lam, the leader of Hong Kong, introduced this bill on February. And before the legislation process planned to formally launch on June. On 9th of June, 1 million people took to the street, urged government withdraw the bill. And on 16th of June, 2 million people took to the street, urged government respect on the voice of people. And on 17th of June, it's lucky that I could leave prison and join this strike.
So what is at stake for Hong Kong right now?
One country, two system is the promise made by Beijing to its Hong Kong people for the transfer of sovereignty. But one country, two system have been eroded to a one country, one and a half system already. Because the leader of Hong Kong is never elected by Hong Kong people, is just selected by President Xi as kind of puppet of Beijing. I would say that when 2 million people, 25% of Hong Kongers, joined the rally, and government still do not respect to the voice of people, it just let more people be more angry and asking that why Hong Kong people can't have democracy and why the leader are not elected, chosen by Hong Kong people.
Is there a sense that peaceful demonstrations are not working, that the chief executive, Carrie Lam, and the government in Hong Kong are not responding to what the demonstrators have asked for so far?
That's why we recognize how Hong Kong is kind of semi-authoritarian city. Peaceful demonstration and protest could show the power of people and let the people around the world in the international communities could know how Hong Kong people is ready and keen to ask for democracy. But peaceful protests still could not generate enough pressure to government. We recognize that 2 million people took to the street is the achievement and even legacy of Hong Kong, and even is the largest demonstration in Hong Kong history. But it's not enough. That's why during the anniversary of Hong Kong handover, the 1st of July, people stormed into the Legislative Council, occupied the chambers for a few hours. And with this storming action, it's largely peaceful because none of the staff of the Legislative Council or police were physically assaulted by activists. They occupy the chambers of Legislative Council. Just the world could know that lawmakers in Hong Kong are not democratically elected, and the extradition bill might still have possibility being introduced in the Legislative Council.
So in some of the pictures circulating from the occupation of the Legislative Council, one of the pictures I saw was of a column spray-painted with the words, Hong Kong is not China. Now, I asked you before what's at stake for Hong Kong, and you said one country, two systems. There also seems to be a strong sense of national and civic identity of Hong Kongers. Is that sense of nationalism in Hong Kong growing?
We recognize ourselves as Hong Kongers. And for myself, I would still recognize myself as ethnically Chinese, but never Chinese citizen, because without human rights and civil rights, and even blacklist by Chinese government, or some of our friends have been detained in China during their visit, how can we say we are Chinese citizen? And we are proud to be Hong Kongers, and that's kind of unique identity. Of course, it still have certain faraway distance to recognize Hong Kong as kind of nationality, but it's still a must for Beijing to realize that Hong Kong people realize the importance of freedom and democracy, and if just ignore the voice of people, the strike will continue. Just like today afternoon, we will have the strike to continue our demand, urge government to withdraw the extradition bill, and the march will continue to show the power of people.
Do you expect the protests to grow in the coming weeks?
Protests will continue. Of course, I will not suddenly imagine today afternoon we have 2 or even more than 2 million people come out to the street, but the momentum is continuing and we still keep going.
So what are the risks for being a protester right now, for being an activist in Hong Kong today, for you, for example?
Young activists hope to run for office. If they were elected, they have the experience being unseated and kicked out of the office. If they apply to run as the candidate, will be disqualified candidacy by Hong Kong authorities. If they have to talk to the street, they might be jailed just like me. I've just been jailed for around 120 days, but some of my teammates are now currently facing jail sentence for 6 years. More than 20 political activists are still physically exist in jail, serving the jail terms. So, no matter run for office, being locked by government, talk to the street might face the prosecution. It's really the hardline policy of President Xi to Hong Kong, but we still continue our battle.
So I asked you what's at stake for Hong Kong. You mentioned President Xi. What's at stake for Beijing? And where is the disconnect between what Hong Kongers expect as their right and what Beijing expects from every part of China, including Hong Kong?
Before the transfer of sovereignty, UK and China endorsed and signed on the Sino-British Joint Declaration. That's the international treaty recognized Hong Kong should maintain high degree autonomy and Hong Kong people deserve the right to have universal suffrage. However, Beijing is the one broke the promise towards Hong Kong people and ignore demand of Hong Kongers. And that's the reason we knew that we are asking for autonomy, democracy, and elected the leader of our city. And Beijing, compared to the era of the former Chinese leader, Xi Jinping is the one fully rely on hardline approach towards Hong Kong citizens.
So Carrie Lam recently made some comments about when there's trouble in Hong Kong, if the police cannot subdue the protests, that the People's Liberation Army might get involved. Are you concerned at the possibility that the Chinese government, the government in Beijing, could send the PLA into Hong Kong if these protests continue?
The Hong Kong office of PLA is just near government headquarters. We knew they might have considered to send PLA to clear our protests, but it's just damaging Hong Kong business and economic environment. I believe no matter Beijing and Hong Kong government fully aware that if they decided really try to send PLA to shoot on Hong Kong people, they need to pay the price.
Do you think that your economy in Hong Kong and its importance as a financial hub and its significance for Chinese companies doing business internationally, that this gives you a level of protection and leverage that you wouldn't have if you were on the mainland?
Leverage and protection still exist because how Hong Kong is being recognized as the Asia financial hub and how Hong Kong under the trade war is still being recognized by US as separate economic entity. If Hong Kong anymore is just a normal Chinese city, I believe now I can't conduct this interview. I must be still in prison or being prosecuted for 10 years. And we hope people could remind that in Hong Kong, protests are largely peaceful, but even journalists have been shot by tear gas, activists have been headshot by rubber bullets. That all could be seen in those media coverage. And how could police target peaceful protesters just asking for the fundamental right that the foreigners in Western country enjoy since last century the right to have election.
So if Carrie Lam were to withdraw the bill entirely, if she were to withdraw the extradition bill entirely, would that be enough?
Withdraw the bill and let Hong Kong people to have free election, that's the way out.
And have free elections. What do you think that will take? So what is the plan by activists like yourself? What are the steps in order to get from where you are today to where you want to be? Is it simply just continuing to apply pressure and running for office?
Talk to the street, run for office, strengthen civil society, and let the world keep their spotlight in Hong Kong, and we get allies around the world, and let President Xi realize that free election, right to vote the leader of the city, is just the fundamental right of people asking for.
So recently, global leaders met in Osaka, Japan for the G20 meeting. Activists in Hong Kong managed to crowdfund close to 7 million, I think, Hong Kong dollars for newspaper ads, to run newspaper ads in international newspapers ahead of the G20. What were protesters, what were activists in Hong Kong looking to achieve with these ads, and how did this work out?
Just like how Japanese Prime Minister and US President raised the concern of the extradition bill and the implementation of one country, two system to President Xi during the G20 summit in Osaka. It's really a good move, and just like how UK and world leaders, they also keep their eyes in Hong Kong. I hope President Xi and world leaders could realize that perhaps they might not really interested in the Hong Kong democratization. But if Hong Kong is lack of democracy, political and economic freedom is under threat, it's not only damaging the livelihood of Hong Kong people, it's also damaging Hong Kong as the Asia financial hub and its erosion on the global business environment. So even doesn't care about political freedom, protection on Hong Kong economic freedom still beneficial for world's future development.
So if you were going into a meeting with the President of the United States or with members of the United States Congress, what would you ask for?
Hong Kong's delegation have met with Vice President and also Secretary of State of US during the past 2 months and raised the concern of the extradition bill. And now, Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act is the bill that Hong Kong people hope US Congress can pass as soon as possible to show their support to Hong Kong political and economic freedom.
Joshua, how important are the generational differences in accounting for what's happening in Hong Kong today? For example, what do your parents think, or the people from their generation, what do they think?
So when 2 out of 7.5 million people took to the street, and Hong Kong is a society with aging population, no matter 3 years old kids joined the rally with baby cars took by the parents, or 70 years old elderly joined the strike. The cross-generation, from the generation of baby boomers to the generation of millennials, we show the solidarities of Hong Kongers.
So Joshua, what's your best case scenario? What do you hope will come out of this? And what concerns you the most about what might happen if the protests continue and no concessions are made by Carrie Lam and the Hong Kong government?
2 or 3 months ago, none of the Hong Kongers could imagine 2 million people took to the street. But we did it. 5 years ago, during the Umbrella Movement, we asked for free election. We can't achieve it. We claim that we will be back with 200,000 people. 5 years later, we are back with even stronger determination with 2 million people. Of course, it's hard for us to guarantee under the hardline and terrible leadership of President Xi Jinping, we are not sure when will be the day for Hong Kong to have democracy. But we will continue our fight until we have democracy. And Hong Kong is not only a financial city, it's a protest city with Hong Kong people determination and passion.
Joshua, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. Is there any last message that you want to deliver besides everything you've already said?
So for US government and for people living in US, I hope if they recognize and they understand what's going on in Hong Kong, please urge your congressman to support Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, and we Hong Kong people hope it will be passed in US Congress as soon as possible. At the same time, I just raised and to submit the petition in the White House website and urge the suspension of crowd control equipment export to Hong Kong, prevent on human rights abuse. As we know that rubber bullets, pepper spray, and tear gas used by Hong Kong police are all purchased from US. When UK government announced to stop the export license on those crowd control weapons to Hong Kong police, I believe US should take reference from what's going on in UK and also stop their export license from US to Hong Kong. US should not sell any crowd control weapon for Hong Kong police to suppress on peaceful protesters fight for freedom and human rights.
So you're saying that the US government should suspend any export or sale of crowd control equipment to Hong Kong because it's being used to control the protesters, and this is where the Hong Kong police get their equipment?
Yes.
All right, Joshua, thank you so much for coming on the program. I really appreciate speaking with you, and I hope you stay safe, and best of luck.
Okay, thank you.